Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This week I'm here at the Clean Cities Congress and Expo in Phoenix, Arizona, and that's kind of what our program is going to be about this time around, because we got some interesting information here. First of all, we had Senator John McCain from Arizona on the program today, and I got to catch up with him just briefly on his way out to the airport after making a speech today here. I think a lot of people find when doing this event, blogging, that they seem to be a little bit amazed that we're able as reporters to get in touch and have a little personal chat with some people like this, but you know, you just have to be persistent sometimes, and sometimes it's just all a matter of timing too. Here's a soundbite from a question I asked him about ethanol and government assistance for farmers and agribusiness to develop that. I don't think that most farmers would be real happy with this response. And for ethanol, you mentioned not supporting subsidies for farmers for this. Can you just make a comment on that?
I do not support subsidies, have not supported subsidies, and it's obvious that now with the price of oil being $70 a barrel, they are viable and are growing like crazy. And I particularly didn't support subsidies to agribusinesses. It didn't go to the farmers, it went to the agribusinesses, who are doing pretty well last time I checked.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator. The chairman for the Clean Cities Congress and Expo is Will Kleindienst. He's a former mayor of Palm Springs, California. And I'm going to play his interview that I did with him here before we got started for a couple reasons. One, he's got a great voice. Wish I had a voice like that. And now he's never done any radio work, but he said he's been asked more than once. But also because he's so passionate about alternative fuels. And I think you'll hear that very clearly in his answers to the questions that I ask him. And since this has so much to do with what we're doing in agriculture today, and you know, energy is such a huge, has such a huge impact on the business, I think that it's important to hear what a leader like this is doing in bringing together a Congress like the one that's going on here in Phoenix, Arizona. So here's my interview with Will. The conference chairman for the Clean Cities Congress and Expo is Will Kleindienst. He is a former mayor for Palm Springs, California, and with me here in this interview. And Will, first of all, tell us a little bit about how or why you got involved in Clean Cities and have come to be chairman again this year.
Again and again and again, Chuck. My work started almost when I was a freshman in the city council for the city of Palm Springs. I was watching the work being done in my area dealing with alternative fuels. In fact, our bus company, Sunline, was the first of its kind in the nation to make a full conversion in one action, and I was very impressed with that. And then I was watching the actions of our own city council converting our fleets as opposed to buying traditional fuel base. We were instructing staff to find out if, in fact, we could buy an alternative fuel vehicle for cleaner air and so on and so forth. I became more interested when I got some regional appointments dealing with the specific issues of air quality. And then back in 1999, I purchased my own alternative fuel vehicle. And since that point, I have not bought gasoline to move me. Now, my family's not on board. They all drive what they drive. It's America. You have your choices. But I have been driving a compressed natural gas vehicle since 1999.
Let's talk about the conference that's just about to kick off here. What would you say about looking forward to this conference, compare it to last year's, for example?
I think the biggest factor separating this year's conference from any of the prior year conferences is the fact that the nation is becoming increasingly frustrated at the price of gasoline. And I use the term price, not so much the cost in dollars. The price can be measured in a number of ways. Obviously, the dollar price of it is extremely high, and I would suggest growing. The price we pay in our government and leadership profile is that every decision made is based on what about oil? How will that affect oil? Our relations, if you will, internationally are based on oil. So that somehow this product has become a dominant controlling piece of our criteria in leading, and I'll use that term loosely, leading our nation forward. So I think what we've got to realize in this conference, with the pressure of the economics of oil, the cost in manpower, in military power, our relations internationally, and I think in some respects our national security and future economic growth, it is somehow, unfortunately, hinged on oil. Our conference is going to deal with alternatives to petroleum-based oil products and, of course, the reducing the reliance on foreign fuels. But additionally, I think this conference is going to talk about the end of oil, that there are those among us that believe we have peaked in the ability to actually capture oil, and we're now on the downside. We are using more oil daily, yearly, than we can find, produce, and extract from the earth. And that's a frightening concept.
I understand that we have a lot of people involved in fleets of different kinds around the country, and there'll be a special program focus for them here this year. Can you describe the type of interest you see in other areas around the country? You must communicate, I assume, with a lot of different people as they look at making these conversions and seeing what the options are.
Well, the fleets are important from the standpoint that an individual who purchases a single car is one car at a time transition. A fleet manager, an individual who's in charge of a vast number of vehicles, can decide, or at least represent his thoughts on an issue and bring it back to the decision makers, that the fleet, the number of vehicles they control, should be converted, should go to alternative fuel. So we have got a number of fleet receptions, fleet parties, fleet programs. We have got sponsorship dollars from one of our major sponsors to bring fleets in. It is our belief that they can single-handedly make more things happen faster than, of course, the individual. We want the individual on board, but this is about getting the conversions quicker. And this is also an industry-led conference, so there's business to be had here. So we're bringing those who buy vehicles here to those who sell vehicles. Bring the two parties together, let them talk face-to-face, kick the tires, and see if, in fact, they can make some deals.
Well, we've got educational conferences that are taking place in addition to some major presentations, but also the expo portion of this, where I assume at least some of that will be taking place. Can you talk about the expo this year and what types of things will be on display?
Well, before I get into specifics on the expo, I think the issue of education is increasingly more important. That if you were to try to find out what's the problem, where's the one issue, who's the enemy, who do we point to? Because we all try to do that, whether you find the scapegoat or you point to the guilty party and say, well, it's them, it's him, it's that. And the reality is, in my estimation, I think the biggest enemy we have is ignorance. It's the lack of knowledge. It's those of us in America who just don't know what to do. We know we don't like where we are, and Americans want to get away from where we are, but they don't know where to go. The major portion of this conference, of this Congress, of the Expo, is to educate. It's to bring all of us who are working in this incredibly important field, bring them together, share ideas, network, grow stronger, and, of course, with the public component, allow those who are basically the buyers of a car, those who, in fact, are being troubled by the high cost of gasoline, give them the tool they need to decide how to buy a vehicle in the future. And it's very important that Americans start looking at the car from an intelligent standpoint. It's not just how pretty is the car, how fast is the car, how slick is the car. Nice to have a good-looking car. But if the car consumes more gas than you can afford, you can't even get in it. So we have to become a little bit more realistic about what that vehicle is. And that's what this conference is going to do. It's going to show you practical applications that are real and available today. That if Americans want to make the change, want to modify their own individual behavior, this conference can show them the steps they need to take to get there. And as a man who's been riding in alternative fuel vehicles since 99, it's not a tough change. And it becomes the decision that is really up to the individual.
So turning back to the expo portion then, what do you see or know that will be put on display here for these people?
Well, I think you'll see vehicles. You'll see light-duty, even heavy-duty trucks available. You'll see different kinds of fuel providers, ranging from compressed natural gas, liquid natural gas, ethanol, biodiesel. The litany goes on. There'll be discussions about hydrogen, the future of hydrogen. Where is it? How far away is it? So that will be discussed. And then, of course, the technologies available for all of those fuels. The reality is where you live in this great country will determine in some part the kind of fuel you can drive, that not all fuels are available in all places. So you have to figure out what can I buy, and what's available. Because you're not going to buy a car that runs on a certain fuel type that you can't buy where you live. If you live in Southern California, the tendency is to go to compressed natural gas. If you live in Texas, perhaps you'd look more towards propane. If you're in the Midwest, you'd be thinking more of ethanol, biodiesels. These are important criteria in making an intelligent decision.
As you look at this conference, can you talk about any media interest you've seen, or what kind of media interest you've seen or expect to have here?
Well, we've seen remarkable coverage in the Gannett paper here at the Arizona Republic. It's the largest spread of articles, op-ed pieces, and coverage that we've ever seen in any of our conferences. We received phone calls this morning from Good Morning America. They're going to come out sometime this week and interview us and see what's going on, so that'll get us even more national coverage. What we're hoping is that this sort of momentum is carried forward and that all media outlets anywhere would understand that there are things being done, that there are technologies available today. This is not pie in the sky. This is not someday la-la land dreams. This is a reality. Everything here is real. It's practical. We dabble in some R&D, some future technologies, but you can purchase the vehicle today. You can get the fuels today. The media plays the important role in that educational component to get the information out on behalf of America, of the nation. We're doing the work. Citizens want to know what's going on. The media is, in fact, a remarkable tool, and I believe they understand their responsibility in getting the information out there. They should challenge the technology. They should scrutinize the technology, because we don't want failed technology out there. We'll lose interest and supporters. But I would suggest to you today, in this interview, today, this point in time, there are technologies available that work and will provide you a greater satisfaction than what you're dealing with today.
Is there anything else that you would like people to know about this conference as we're about to get it kicked off here?
I would tell you that this conference is growing, and it amazes me and it pleases me that the number of exhibitors, the number of attendees, the number of coalitions from across the country, the number of industry-based sponsors, the dollars collected, the commitment, everything about the conference is stronger today than I've ever seen. I've worked at the conference directly and indirectly for over 4 years, and this year is phenomenal, which would suggest to me if our momentum is in the proper direction, next year will be even better. But I could not be any more pleased than I am today at the work that's being done by the staff and by all of our great industry partners. This is a remarkable conference, and if there's any ability to get to this or to check your website or other related sites, see what's going on in the world. There are some great technologies that are happening today that are viable and, in fact, should be reviewed.
Thank you very much, Will Kleindienst, who is the chairman for the Clean Cities Congress and Expo here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting. Well, thanks for listening to the Zimcast for this week. If you want to see all of the action here at the Clean Cities Congress, feel free to look either at agwire.com, or we're also doing much more extensive coverage on our domestic fuel website at domesticfuel.com. Thank you again for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.